Okay, today we have Megan Hawkins, who is on the phone with me from Honolulu, and we're going to do an interview with her about her career experience and her background in the field of anthropology. So, Megan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your training thus far in anthropology?
Well, I currently hold 2 degrees in anthropology, focused in archaeology. I received my BA from the University of Massachusetts, and received my master's degree from Texas A&M University, and have been doing archaeology since only about 2001. And since then, I've just been going to school and working in the field, excavating and working in the lab.
And what's your current position?
I'm currently a cultural resource specialist for the Research Corporation of the University of Hawaii, and we're contracted out to the Army.
So the client is the U.S. Army, but your employer is the university?
That's right.
And how long have you been in that position?
I landed this position in September, so only 3 months.
Okay. How did you find that particular position?
Well, I actually used a contact, a woman that I had worked for in Samoa. During my job search, I was sending out emails to all sorts of archaeologists out in Hawaii, and got in touch with a woman I had worked for before, and she told me about some positions that were opening up.
So, would you describe it as networking?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And what, in addition to networking, was there any other tools? Were there any other tools that you used in job hunting this time or previously?
The internet, just going on online and you know, checking out who's working where and if I could get their contact information. If I could, I called them or emailed them.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the internet was sort of supplementing your networking.
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about what your current job entails.
My current job basically entails surveying, monitoring, a bit of excavation, and writing reports.
And does it differ much from previous work experience?
Yeah, there's a lot less excavation and a lot less. In the past, I was either excavating or I was working in the lab, you know, processing the artifacts that we found. And here it's a lot more surveying and monitoring and the writing of reports.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting into the office administration type of work a little bit more?
Yeah.
In terms of, I know you're at a point now where you finished your master's, right?
Yep.
And are you going on with your PhD?
I haven't really decided yet. I think it's really important to you know, employ the skills that you have learned over the course of, you know, your BA or your MA, and to figure out, first of all, how valuable these skills are, and then to figure out if you really do want to go on to do another degree, and if you actually need to do another degree in order to do your job.
And what, just in terms of that assessment, what are some aspects of your training that have been useful to you?
Well, definitely, you know, the field school. I mean, if you're gonna do archaeology, you definitely need to have excavation experience. So, you know, that is just invaluable. But in terms of any sort of outside training, I would have to say the courses I took in geology and geoarchaeology were really valuable, just in terms of understanding, you know, formation processes and how they affect the site that you're working in, and just, you know, how the area, the landscape, has changed due to, you know, due to you know, natural and cultural transforms.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the education that you got through your BA and MA was good and sufficient preparation for your job?
Yeah, I do.
Was there anything missing that you wish you had received once you got into certain responsibilities or tasks?
Well, as an undergraduate, I felt like I could have been prepared more in terms of anthropological and archaeological theory courses. When I went to graduate school, I felt like there was a lot missing, and I felt like, at least for students who are serious about going on and getting an advanced degree, there should have been some sort of course that they could have taken, you know, to prepare you for all of these, you know, all the theories and models that you have to then sort of use and study as a graduate student. So I felt like that was it was a difficult sort of transition in terms of, you know, the type of research I had been taught and the way of thinking, you know, as an undergrad. And how that differed as a graduate student.
So did you find yourself having to play catch up?
Yeah.
And what resources did you use, or did you, how did you address that gap that you had?
Well, I basically relied on my cohort and a lot of the sort of senior students in the department, and just talking with them and asking if I could study with them and talking with my professors and doing my own independent reading and just time. Over time, you learn more about your field, and, you know, you're not even realizing it. And so I just try to rely on the people around me and their knowledge.
What kind of teams do you work with?
Right now, teams in terms of my coworkers. Right now, I work with a handful of other cultural resource specialists, and that's basically it. You know, it's probably about four other people that I work with at most in the field.
So, do most of them then have pretty much the same training that you have?
Not necessarily. I think I'm the only one in my job position that has a master's. But what I think they lack in an advanced degree, they make up for years of experience. Some of us have, different backgrounds in terms of, one guy has a GIS background, and he's sort of the GIS computer guy. And, another person is more of a curation, and so she brings that to the table. So we all bring certain things to the table. It's just we kind of have a little bit of a different background.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's, unlike some people, your team is not very interdisciplinary, although there's differences in experience and task or responsibilities within it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How long are you going to be in Honolulu working on this this project for the Army?
Well, I actually work on the Big Island, so I live in Hilo, but we are contracted out to the Army for as long as they need us, and they'll pretty much need us for as long as they are operating, you know, here. Or anywhere, because it's basically compliance. The Army has to comply with a lot of different rules and regulations in terms of the cultural resources where they're working, and as well as the natural resources. So this is a permanent situation unless they decide to go with a different contractor.
Ah, so. Is the area of regulation and policy one that sort of is part of your job on any real basis, or is it just one of the causes for the job to be created?
It's one of the causes for the job to be created. I don't deal directly with any of the, any of the rules and regulations in terms of writing up reports for Section 106, which is the Historic Preservation Act. All of that is done by the senior resource specialist or the Army Corps of Engineers archaeologist. Basically, I'm dealing with collecting all of the data in the field, and then monitoring the progress of the Army in terms of where they are, where they're training, and any sort of development that they're doing, and then I report back with like trip reports, and then that is taken as a whole to determine what sort of plan of action needs to be executed higher up.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're getting any on-the-job training?
Not in this current position, because I basically came to the table with the skills that I already had. I received elsewhere, so there's not really much training that I'm getting in terms of that. Maybe any sort of training that I'm getting is just administratively, and that's really just by observing what the people who are above me are doing. So any training that I'm getting is just by observing, but it's nothing direct in terms of someone sitting down and showing me, this is what we're doing and this is how to do it.
Just thinking in terms of career, where would this kind of position lead to? What would one, if you were in that for a long period of time, what would you think would be a logical move?
I think just higher up in the food chain. Right now I'm a cultural resource specialist. At some point, with the experience, I would be able to then be the senior resource specialist or the PI, the principal investigator, in a job like this, and then I would then be able to, call the shots and suggest certain sites for preservation, and one day maybe, I'm sure I'd be eligible for a position as in the Army Corps of Engineer Archaeologist. So
there is a path that you could follow, sort of staying within the same type of work that you're doing.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you have for students who are interested in getting into this kind of work?
In terms of just archaeology in general, or in terms of the specific kind of work I do for the Army?
Yeah, more the cultural resource work.
It's basically, you're gonna have to work hard, and when you're dealing with any sort of cultural group and then any sort of private company, it's always going to be difficult to try to mitigate what say the Army wants or what say any other company who's trying to do construction wants. At the same time, you're trying to fulfill your responsibilities and duties in maintaining and the cultural integrity in a specific place, and that can always be very difficult. But if you just, if you work hard and you keep a good heart and you try to, you try to do the best you can to preserve any of the cultural significance where you are, people will appreciate your work, and basically doors will open for you if you just work hard and kind of keep your nose down.
Do you think that people have an edge who have particular, maybe a little bit more narrow skills like GIS, or that there's more work for somebody who is more of a generalist?
Well, I think that definitely people who have an edge like GIS, they do have an edge, just because, basically, if our GIS guy was not there, we wouldn't know what to do with our database. Mm. They're very valuable, but at the same time, someone with a general education is also, they can spread their skills out in a lot of different places as well. So they're both valuable, but it just depends on where you're applying it. Obviously, someone who has more of general skills can't apply for a position that is, you know, due to run a database and figure out, you know, all of the bugs in the system and, you know, but they're both really valuable.
So it's valuable but not necessary.
Not necessary, but I think it helps.
Well, I think we're about out of time. I really appreciate your talking to us today. Good luck with your work on the Big Island. And thank you very much for your insights into career development issues for people who are job hunting or students.
Okay, thank you very much, Ruth.
Okay. Bye, Megan.
Bye.